Good day, my friend. I'm Dr. Tim Tooten, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland, inviting you to join us for our worship experience every Sunday at 8:45. We meet at 7660 Bel Air Road in Baltimore County, Maryland. And now for today's message. Let's join Harvest Already in Progress.
If you love him today, come on, put your hands together. If you love him today, let him know. Lord, I love you with all my heart and soul. Let him know. God, I appreciate you. And I love you. Why? Because you first loved me. As you remain standing today, let's bow before the Lord. Father, we do thank you. It's love not as the world defines it, but love that you would lay down your life. There's nothing like it. And so we come today just to thank you, to let you know that we appreciate all that you're doing. You didn't have to do it, but you did it. As we stand today, it is our prayer always that we might decrease and that you might increase. Save someone today and God, encourage another. But when this time is done, we'll give your name the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As you remain standing today, we're going to share scripture today from Psalm 34, 13 through 15 for our in-house folk. We know sometimes the screen is a little slow. Just ignore it, amen. We're not going to worry about that. It says in verse number 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. You may take your seats today in this place. I want to preach from the sermonic title, Take My Advice. Take My Advice. People love to give advice. They love to tell you what's on their minds. They love to tell you what's good for you. And there's no shortage of people wanting to give you advice. Family, friends, co-workers, magazines, websites can all tell you on what they believe is best for you. People will tell you what they believe you ought to eat and what you ought to drink and what you ought to wear. Nobody in here does that. But there's always an opinion how you ought to vote and where you ought to sit. Anybody know somebody like that? Amen. Y'all didn't give me very much of a clap. Y'all know anybody like that who just, without you asking them? So let me tell you my take on this. It's a Psychology Today columnist by the name of Marty Nimco says that from a counseling perspective, we should avoid giving people advice. He says, here's why. The person knows their situation a lot better than you know it. Most times you got secondhand information. You've got what you've read on Facebook. And so you begin to approach them and tell them what you think is right for them. It's funny, I've heard the saying that good advice is what your own kids disregard, but save to give to their kids. Amen? Ever found yourself sounding like your mama and sounding like your father, and then you hear your children telling your grandkids stuff that you told them? Amen? It's just good stuff to pass along, and oftentimes it's very true and real. Well, there's always an exception to the rule. When it comes to good advice, I found a document that works every time, and I'm talking about the Holy Bible. The Bible is still the place to go as a guide. It is filled with many life-changing principles. The Bible remains a how-to guide, how to get through struggles, how to get through disappointments, how to get through things that may affect your life. And it is so important to focus on the word. I know your story is great. We all have a great testimony to give. And we'll say, when I was your age. And oftentimes, this generation don't want to hear that. They're watching you more than they're hearing you. Amen? And so when it comes to this sense of take my advice, make sure that what you are shared when asked is something that will help to nurture them. Now, let me just say this. I don't believe you ought to just stand by idly and say nothing. You know, I'm not going to say anything. You don't want to see them running right into the track, right into the wall. Just drop a little something, and I know it will help them. Now, you may not call it advice, but you're saying, here's something that helped me many years ago. Amen? I tell my son often, he says, so, Dad, tell me, when you were my age, how did you handle this? I said, man, I wasn't that smart then. I don't know what I did. It may have sounded like wisdom, but, you know, oftentimes we're just trying and striking out along the way. But when it comes to giving advice, there's one in the Bible today who's a strong biblical character. He would be in the Bible Hall of Fame, one by the name of David. David is someone who is no stranger to big headlines. David is one who, at the time of this text, had just had a major defeat. He had been called down to give lunch to his brothers on the battlefield, and there was a big bad giant named Goliath, big Philistine giant. He was huge, and everybody was afraid of him, and David didn't know any better. Little ruddy shepherd boy said, what's the problem? And David takes out his stone, five smooth stones and a slingshot, and takes Goliath out. Don't you love the big stories of the Bible? Yeah. When you feel like you're down, say, man, let me go to my David story. Man, I mean, you can see David winding up and taking a look at that and taking him out. All of a sudden, at that time, he became a very popular person. That David, little old shepherd boy, having a great assignment for the Lord. He was a young fellow, but keep in mind that on the backside of victory, on the other end of major things, know that there can be jealousy. That folk may pat you on the back, slap five with you, and then really in their heart of hearts, they can't stand what you're doing. They don't like what you've been able to accomplish. That's not your problem. It's theirs. Some years ago, I interviewed Joel Osteen, and I was talking with him, and I said, well, Joel, you know, people say this about you, and they said many things. And he gave that Joel smile, Tim. He said, I don't spend time worrying about what folk think about me. And that's it. Don't worry about what folk are saying about you. When God has called you to something, just do what he's called you to do. So King Saul had gotten word about this victory and was jealous and wanted to harm David. Folk don't like to see you succeed. Jealousy is real. By the time of this text, I'll just stay right there. But that's all right. That's their problem, because when God has called you to something, continue to look ahead. Don't worry about what the talk on the street is. Don't worry about reducing yourself to remain. No, just God, thank you for what you're doing. By the time we get to this text today, David is afraid. David is shaking. David has become unraveled. David has run to a cave to hide out. The same David who took out a giant. The same David who was getting accolades. The same David who would say, yeah, you know, God is good. Now finds himself depressed. Finds himself in a cave. And what he does in that moment, he pulls out his harp with his men around him and begins to write this text. And in a real way, psalms are songs. And sometimes at your lowest moment is the time when God will give you a song just for you. Has it ever happened to you that when you were saying, well, I don't know if this is going to be number one on the charts, but when you find yourself in a low place, you start singing a song. He begins to write this text in the midst of what he's going through. It is part song and part sermon. David takes time to reflect on what God has done in his own life. He's got friends around him, and he makes some recommendations. He passes along some advice to those who are with him. You can't get good advice unless you've really been through something. Amen? That you may not have a real testimony. He said, well, life has been good for me. But when you've been through something, then you say, let me tell you a little something about how God can bring you through. I used to see my mother singing them songs about, you know, with the Lord. I said, why mama crying? Why is she getting happy? I didn't know then what her struggle was. But every now and then, when you think about what God is doing in your life, you will take time to reflect. But he passes along to those who are with him some advice. Amen? First of all, we have to watch our words. He says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Don't you like the Bible? It's straight. David is speaking from experience, something he's been through. He's trying to help his men to avoid making the same mistakes that he's made. Things he said, there's nothing like speaking from your own experience. You know, I like hanging out with the seasoned saints. I love hanging out with Deacon Waller. I like hanging out with Miss Jean. You know, folks who can take you back a moment, and they may not give you advice, but hearing their story and their testimony will encourage you. And they'll just drop some advice on you without even knowing it. Amen? Anybody love hanging out with folk who are a couple years older than you? Who've been through a few more things than you've been through? And then you become that person on your workplace about to retire, and all of a sudden, you're the senior. But he's saying, watch your words. Be careful what you say. This tongue is something else. David was being transparent. He was trying to restrain himself, trying to hold his tongue, but admits things will slip. And when you speak, it might be something that will help someone as opposed to hurting them. You know, the tongue is a powerful little tool, isn't it? Not very big. But man, it can do some major damage. Some of y'all acting sanctified like y'all ain't never said anything that just cut somebody up. And you knew what you were doing too. Amen? Until you realize I got to watch my words. James 3:6 says, and the tongue is a flame of fire. It will set a whole place on fire just by what you say. So we should all choose our words carefully. It's okay to pause for a moment and say, well, I'll leave that alone. That's always good. I'm an advocate of replacement words, ones that will help and not hurt. He says, my advice to you all who are with me is watch your words. But also, watch your walk. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Here again, David is talking about his past, hoping it will help other people. Let me just say this. You've got a past. I've got a past. You don't have to broadcast it, but when you think about where God has brought you from, it really can help folk in their walk with the Lord if you're willing to give a window of where God has brought you from. I didn't say tell all your business, but it helps to know that my witness has changed. I'm not the person I used to be. My walk has changed along the way. Folk who know the old Tim, know the old Tim. I laugh about the old Tim, but thank God for the new Tim. My walk is behind me now, but every now and then, with all of us, we reflect and flashback to a time before God transformed us. And the walk means not your gait. It means your witness in the Lord. We have to be careful as we go before the Lord to turn from those things that are evil. And evil is not hard to find. Man, evil will come to your door, come to your lunch and say, well, hey, what you doing? Evil will come through your radio station. Evil will come through late night TV. Evil will come through cable just to knock on your door. But make sure that your walk is strong in the Lord. You ought to care about who you represent. In those times when you attempt to say, wait a minute, I'm a soldier of the High King. I live for Jesus. Never forget who you are. And never forget whose you are, because your walk makes a difference. Are you pleased with your walk today? Are you okay with where you find yourself? Are you walking in the right path? Is it worth replicating? You know, somebody is watching you right now. Now I'm going to tell my age. You remember that show, Candid Camera? That's really old. And people would get recorded and not know it, you know, and all of a sudden, you're on Candid Camera. Well, now you don't need that. Your phone can be Candid Camera. And before you know it, they've already posted it. You say, I didn't say that, and it's already out. So your walk is important 24/7. And David said, let me give you, based on what I've been through and what I've experienced, yes, I got all the accolades as being David, but in the real way, I had some issues in my own life. He knew a lot was at stake. He knew that his advice was heartfelt. He wanted those around him to do better. Amen? Don't you want those who are coming behind you to be a better person than you are? Don't give them the impression that you've always been in the straight and narrow, but you're giving them an insight. So, yeah, I've been there, but let me help you to be better and not make the same mistakes that I have made. Galatians 5 and 6 says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That make it your business that I'm going to really practice righteousness. I'm going to practice walking in the way of the Lord. It's easy to get knocked off track. It's easy for the enemy to show up and just try to tempt you. He already knows. But greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. Watch your walk. But finally, watch our works. It says the eye of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. David was very clear in giving this advice that God had kept tabs on everything that he had done. We think sometimes God's asleep, or that God is on the night shift, and that I can do my thing and he don't really see anything because he's not tuned in. Amen? God sees everything. I remember some years ago when I had one leg in the world, one out. Somebody gave me one of those little books, little trying to witness to me and tell you about Jesus. I was, man, give me that thing. When I looked in it, it was an illustration. And it said, essentially, that everything that we're doing, that God will bring it back on the big screen. Man, for a moment, I was like, oh, Lord, you mean everything? Everything. And so he's not asleep. Our works have to be of such that we realize that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, on those who claim him, on those who walk with him. It was important to David to live a right kind of life. but to know that God would also hear him whenever he would call. Amen? That sounds like God has a camera and a microphone. Amen? I do what matters for the Lord. My life, like yours, is under heaven's surveillance. There are times that I know he's not pleased with me, but I'm glad I can go to him and say, I know you've seen the tape, God. I come even now confessing that sin. Am I by myself today? I'm talking about our works. Sometimes in that attempt, we'll fall short. David was saying, take my advice that only what you do for Christ will last. There are many certificates you'll get, many of plaques, and many of little ribbons you'll get, but only what you do for Jesus Christ will last and will count in the end. I really believe that today. Amen? But no matter what you do on the earthly realm, but it's the things that people don't see. It's the things that they may not know about, that you're doing it because God has led you. Those are the things that will count when it comes to our works. Amen? Amen. Bible says that faith without works is dead. So with your works, you got to believe that God can do anything. He can work through you just the way you are. And that's some great advice that David passed along. David, I appreciate your advice. I receive it. I thank you for all that you've given, but there's some better advice. Amen? There's some advice that comes from Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He says, come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's some good advice. When you find yourself in a tough place, he says, over here, come to me. He says, you got to deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Good advice. Don't get the big head. It's not really about you. I'm the one you ought to be following. Advice. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I don't fish. No, we don't mean bait. We mean your lifestyle. You keep following me, and you'll be getting folk for the kingdom. Amen? Folk will follow because they'll see Christ in you. Advice. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. That's good advice. Come on, love on me, because what? I'm loving on you. I thank Christ for his advice. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Good advice. I know they parked in your spot, but love them. I know you don't like what they're doing, but love them. Love your neighbor as yourself, because really, you've not been the best neighbor. And let your light so shine before men and women that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Come on, turn your light on. Not no 20 watt, I'm talking about 100 watt light. Amen. Let folk know I'm trying to walk for Jesus. That's some great advice he passes along, that he might get the glory in your life. The best advice I've ever gotten is to give my life to Jesus Christ. That's the best on the road. I could use that. Didn't realize at the time, but that's the best advice is, let me tell you what the Lord has done just for me. Now, some years ago, James Cleveland wrote this song. He really kind of stole it from Gladys Knight in the Pips. But James Cleveland put a James Cleveland on it. Amen? And he said, okay, he said, now, I've had my share of life's ups and downs. This is the James Cleveland version. God's been good to me, and the downs have been few. You know that song. I would guess that you can say, God has blessed me. But there's never been a time in my life he did not bring me through. My God. Do I have a witness today? If anyone should ever write my life story, for whatever reason there might be, you'd be there between each line of pain and glory. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. That's it. Can I say it again? Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. I had some good stuff that happened to me, man. I could call the roll, but Jesus is the best thing ever happened to me. I've got a promotion or two along the way, but Jesus is the best thing ever happened to me. I've won some contests, but Jesus is the best thing ever happened to me. I've got some great friends, but Jesus is the best thing ever happened to me. I've had some awesome things happen, but in the end, Jesus remains the best thing. I mean the very best thing that's ever happened to this old country boy. Has it ever happened to you? Is he the best thing that ever happened to you? Oh, I don't know if you know or not. He's the best thing that could ever happen to you. Do I have a witness today to know he'll bring you through every situation? He's by far the best thing. I know the world may try to say, well, buy one, get one free, but Jesus is always the best. Why? Because he died. Why? Because he got up on the third day morning with all power in his hands. Why? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's still the best thing that ever happened to me. And I thank him for it today. He's made me a better me. And I'm glad that he's not done with me just yet. Because when I think my best is good, he said, no, 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 no. Come a little higher. I've got more for you to do. Take my advice. If you're lost, I'll find you. If you're down, I'll lift you up. If you need some joy, I'll give it to you. But follow my instruction. Now, when you leave today, if somebody asks for your advice, here's a little thing to try. Just say, well, Jesus is the best thing ever happened to me. If they do a follow-up question, what do you mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. He woke me up this morning and started me on my way. That is the word of God today. It's already blessed. Come on, give God some praise today. Take my advice. I'm glad today. He's a counselor who will sit next to you and give you everything that you need. David said, look here. I mean, don't. I'm David, but I messed up. But can I help you? Absolutely. We offer Christ to you today. To you. We offer Christ to you,
oh my sister.
Oh, yes, he will. Come. That's some good advice. We offer Christ, oh my brother. All for Christ. Brand new life.
Life abundantly.
I said it some weeks ago that the best thing we could pass along to those that we really love is Jesus. Not a good luck charm. Not a stock of bond, even though my kids say a stock and bond will be fine. But leave them a legacy of God's faithfulness. That they'll be able to carry on about how the Lord came into your life. And it's amazing how it just kind of happened. See, I wasn't really seeking the Lord when he ran me down. I had a little bit of world in me. But he literally ran me down. You ever see a good football play and the man is almost in the end zone and a fast man just runs him down? Y'all like, catch him! That was me. Running away from the Lord. And then I felt a tug at the 1 yard line. I'm so glad today that he saved my soul. As you bow your heads today, I want to offer Christ to you. What does that mean to offer Christ? That means to give you my best advice, that the Bible says if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. With the mouth, confession is made. With the heart, you're able to receive that which says that your life will change. I'm so glad today that he saved me. For you out there today, I'm sure you feel the same way, but there may be one. There's a chance there's one who has never opened their hearts to Jesus. On the spot, right now, you can do it by praying a prayer something like this. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've missed the mark. My life is out of control. But your Bible and your word reminds me that if I just believe that God sent you and that you died and that you rose again, if I really believe that and confess it, your word says I will be saved and we have life eternal. Today, if you spoke something like that, open your heart today, let Jesus come in. That's my best advice. He will save your soul. Today, maybe you're here. Today, maybe you whispered a prayer like that. Today, maybe unbeknownst to the pastor or the people, you just gave your life to Jesus. That's awesome. And the angels of heaven are rejoicing right now, saying, well, got another one in the kingdom. Join the crowd today of believers in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a praise today.
I pray you were blessed today by the message and that it might find a place in your heart today. Share it with someone that you know that they may be encouraged. Let me talk about a couple of resources I want you to know about as it relates to Harvest Christian Ministries. Check out our app, our new church app. Just go to HCM Baltimore if you have Apple Store. If you have Google Play, check out Harvest Christian Ministries. There you will find our daily devotionals called Seeds of Encouragement. You'll be blessed day in and day out. And also, I want to tell you about a brand new resource we're really excited about. My first book. It's called Leading by Example, a parental guide to teaching and modeling Christian faith at home. Pick up your copy today by way of Barnes & Noble, also Amazon.com, or check out my publisher, a great group of people, at Zulon.com. That's X-U-L-O-N. In the meantime, check us out on our website. It's com2harvest.org. I'm Dr. Tim Tootin, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. Have yourself a great day in the Lord.